Thank you, John. On my way driving in for live stream service this morning, I made a phone call to a friend, Ken Dietz, who is celebrating his 74th birthday. And we had just a great time talking, and he said to me, "It's so good to hear your voice." And I thought to myself, that really reflects something that I want to say to you today from the Word of God. I wish we could be together and I could see you. Ken and I have a great friendship, and we do want to wish him as a church family a happy 74th birthday, because he has been a blessing to the Kentwood Christian Church. But his words, "It's good to hear your voice," and quite honestly, it was great to hear his voice as well. In Hebrews chapter 3, we hear this said regarding the Holy Spirit. It says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice," and the Holy Spirit is referring to the voice of God. God is still speaking, and he speaks to the hearts of mankind. He speaks to the hearts of his children. We often say God is in charge and God is on the throne. And yes, he is. But we say those things to try to acknowledge that God is reigning and that he is active in his creation. God's voice still goes out into this world, and it goes out through the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings out the voice of God through the Word of God. And that is why we value and cherish God's Word, because it is his words, and they are critically important. And I hope that you hear God's voice whenever you find yourself listening to his word being proclaimed, or in your prayer life whenever he speaks back to you in the deep part of your spirit, or when you're simply in Bible study reflecting on the truths and the promises of God. We are in this series that I have entitled, "The Word of God is Like a Lion." That statement comes from a great evangelist named Charles Spurgeon, who said, "The Word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend the lion. You simply have to let a lion loose, and the lion will defend itself." What a beautiful statement regarding the Word of God. We simply have to embrace God's Word and give God's Word out, and God's Word will do everything else. That is the beautiful power of the Word of God. The Word of God will take care of itself, will do what God has designed it to do, and it will definitely be able to defend itself. 3 weeks ago, we talked about the foundation of Scripture. Last week, we talked about the enduring Scripture. Today, I want to talk to you about the living Scripture, that the Bible, God's Word, Holy Scripture, is living. So this idea of the writer saying that the Holy Spirit says, "So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion." The Hebrew writer looks back to the time that God set the people of Israel free from Egyptian bondage. And he took them out to take them to the promised land. But they had unbelieving hearts. They had rebellious hearts. And they had hearts that turned away from the living God. And so God was angry with them. And God punished their unbelief by making them wander in the desert for 40 years. And really, leading up to our text today, what we find out is the Hebrew writer is reminding these Christians who have had the gospel preached to them that there is a decision to be made. And that decision is to embrace the enduring, foundational, living Word of God that will allow you to enter God's rest. Because if you reject God's Word, you will find a spiritual desert for your life, a place that is dry and empty and hopeless. And so this morning, I hope that as you hear the Word of God, that you will make a decision, if you have not, to enter God's rest. The idea of God's rest in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 is at least two parts. God rested from His work on the seventh day in the book of Genesis. And so there is a sense that we, like God, have a Sabbath rest to set aside our work and simply focus on God. But the second aspect of entering God's rest is to cease from trying to achieve the approval of God in and of yourself by what you can do, because you cannot do enough to meet the approval of God. The only way that any one of us stands approved by God is when we trust Jesus Christ as our foundation for our life, and we receive and believe in Him, and His cleansing blood makes us pure and white and holy, and that brings us in to God's rest. But the reality is, you're either in God's rest because you have received Christ and you have received the promise of God, or you are outside of God's rest because of sin, disbelief, rebellion, and a heart that continues to turn away. I pray today that if you hear God's voice speaking to your spirit deep within, that you will listen to His voice and not turn away, because God is speaking to you. And that's what we find here in this beautiful text of Hebrews. In verse 12, this is what the opening line says. For the Word of God is alive and active. The writer of Hebrew gives us a description of God's Word by saying, first, God's Word is alive. Second, that it's active. It's living and it's active. This idea of it being alive is to say to us, God's Word is not outdated. God's Word is not dead. But God's Word is relevant, and it is alive, and it is effective. And God speaks to us with His voice through His Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, is different than any other book. There's a lot of great books that man has written, books that we like, read. They may make you cry. You have a sense of endearment to certain books. But no book but the Bible has the infusion of God Himself by the Spirit to touch the heart of mankind and change a life forever. So whenever this writer says God's Word is alive, he's letting us know it's relevant. It's not dead. It's effective. And this active sense, that the Word of God is active, is it is accomplishing its purpose. Some people will turn away from the Word of God. Some people reject the Word of God. Some just ignore the Word of God. But it does not change the fact that the Word of God is still active, doing what God has called and determined it to do. So as we look at our lives, I know that if you are a believer and you've taken your stand on the Word of God, to be obedient to it and to follow it, to love it, you know how good it is to hear the Word of God and to know that it's alive and that it's relevant and that it is powerful. And knowing that, we know how it's changed our lives. And we've seen it work and change the lives of others. But if you've not stood on the Word of God. I want you to know it doesn't change anything in regards to your responsibility to it. If you hide yourself from it, push it away, walk away, ignore it, you are still accountable to the voice of God that is speaking through His Word and through His creation. The Word of God is alive and it's active. And then he says that the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. Throughout the Bible, we see in reference to Jesus that out of his mouth came the sharp double-edged sword. We see it again and again and again that the Word of God is this metaphor given to us that it is a sharp double-edged sword, that it is able to thrust and it is able to cut. And in so doing, it penetrates to the very darkest, deepest recesses of the inner man. And so when the writer says it's sharper than any double-edged sword, he's letting us know when he starts to define that it penetrates soul and spirit, joints and marrow, that it is able to reach us wherever we are. And that is the beautiful working of God's Word, where others could say something to you and you can just keep your heart hardened. God's Word has the ability, if you come to it and if you would open yourself up to it, to penetrate your heart and work in your life to bring you into God's rest, to bring you out of the spiritual desert of dryness and emptiness in life and bring you in to the beautiful promise of God's rest. I don't know about you, but there is nothing better than a good night's rest. Last night, I slept a good solid 8 hours, and I woke up, the birds were singing, the sun was shining. It was just a beautiful morning. And to feel refreshed and renewed and exhilarated, it's a wonderful thing. But some people wake up morning after morning, those who don't sleep well, and they're lethargic, and they're tired, and that's just in the physical realm. Well, that translates into the spiritual reality too. God's Word renews us, and God's Word restores us because it is alive, and it is active. And as we go through life, whatever we're thinking and whatever we're choosing to do, that Word has the power, because we've opened ourselves up to it, to convict us of sin and wrongdoing, or encourage us in the right things that we are doing. The times that we are coming alongside people and loving them, encouraging them, and sacrificing for them and giving for them, that is the living Word of God. And it is a powerful thing, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Nothing in all of God's creation is hidden from the eyes of Him who we must give an account. He says it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You know, you and I, we can hide things from each other. People hide things from their spouses, their children, their friends. We can't hide anything from God. God sees and knows everything. And His Word judges those thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. We may try to rationalize why we do something, why we said something, why we looked at something, why we thought or did something, and give a reason that sort of gives ourselves an excuse. But the Word of God penetrates through that, and it judges our hearts. You know what I'm talking about. When you do something that you know is wrong, if you've not hardened your heart to a point where you're just too callous, the Word of God comes in and says, why did you do that? Why did you say that? It pricks your heart to the degree that you feel like, I have let my father down. You remember in the book of Acts, They think they are justified in the fact that they killed Jesus Christ because they felt that he was saying things about God and himself that were not true, that he was speaking blasphemy. And then the Holy Spirit comes and moves and speaks through Peter, and God's voice is heard. And Peter says, "You have killed the Messiah. You have killed the one that was to come. And God revealed to you that he was God's unique son through signs and miraculous deeds and authority of his voice and teaching." And the text says those words caused their hearts to be pricked. And as their hearts were convicted, they turned to the Lord. I pray that your heart would be convicted if you do not know him, and that you would turn to him. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to hang and suffer and die on a cross. But he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right-hand side of God, and one day he will return to gather his children to him. And I hope that you would be one of those children, because God's word touched your life, and that you decided to fall on your knees wherever you are and to receive and believe and be obedient to God in baptism and committing to live your life all the days of your life in faithful service to him. That's what it is to enter God's rest. Spiritual desert is no fun. The spiritual desert offers no hope. The spiritual desert is frustrating. And the spiritual desert is what God is calling you from and inviting you in to a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ. I love verse 13 of this text of Hebrews chapter 4 when it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." You know, no matter what we've done in our past, God doesn't forget it. God knows. Others may forget, others may never know, but God knows. And that's what really matters. It matters most what God knows about you. And if anything, verses 12 and 13 of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us all that God is not casual about his children's spiritual condition. He is not casual. It is important to him. He knows it. He is on top of it. He witnesses it. He sees. Nothing in all of God's creation is hidden from his sight. Just to be remorseful or have a worldly sorrow for something that we've done is not enough. We must repent, confess that sin to God, and turn to him and receive and believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope you will do today. I started this message this morning by saying to you mothers, you have a lot of power in who you are in relationship to your children. And you have the influence, the capability to point your children from birth to at least through the high school years to Jesus. I hope that they see you, moms, in the Word of God. I hope they see you resting and trusting and speaking about and praying about God's Word. I hope, parents, you will allow the younger generation to be exposed to the Word of God, because nothing in all of our lives is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. Look at that language. The Word of God is sharp. It cuts. It penetrates. It opens up. Everything is uncovered and laid bare. And something else I know from that verse that you and I all have in common, there are some things that God has seen about me, and I'm sure about you, that you're probably embarrassed about, that you probably have great regrets about. But isn't it a comforting thought to know that you can, through the power of Jesus Christ and His living work, set that aside because it will be forgiven, and just focus on living your life for the Lord? That is the power of God coming so intimately close into our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that He reveals to us, this is what you need to work on, Patrick. Patrick, this is what you need to confess. And we give it to the Lord, and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ washes it all away. There may be things that you've done in your life that no one else will ever forgive you for on this earth. That's their choice. But God will forgive you. So don't try to hide it. Don't try to cover it up. Just take the mask off before God and confess everything to Him. And let time's refreshing and cleansing come through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is a promise to enter His rest. Or it is a judgment that you will not enter His rest unless you submit to His will for your life. So look at this with me one more time before we close. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him who we must give an account. We will give an account, each and every one of us, one day when we stand before God. I hope and I pray that the account that you can give is simply, I trusted Jesus with my life. That's the account that I want to give. That I stood on the rock of Jesus Christ, that He was my cornerstone, that God, Your Word was the light into my path. That is what I want to stand and give an account. I don't want to try to defend anything I did except that, Lord, I boasted in Your gospel, I loved Your Word, I believed it, and I served and tried to follow it the best I could in all my imperfection, and by Your grace, I know I'm saved. That's the account I want to give. I do not want to stand before God having to try to give an account. Well, Lord, I did this good thing and, yeah, that bad thing, and it sort of balances out. But God, You're supposed to be a good God, a loving God, a forgiving God, and You should accept me. You don't want to do that. There's only one way that salvation will come into your life, and that is by you having a personal, intimate, saving relationship, and Jesus is both your Lord and your Messiah. God bless each and every one of you, and may you choose today to embrace the Word of God and to live your life on it, because I promise you this, you will be blessed, and you'll never regret it. God bless each and every one of you. May God's Word do what it always says it will do.